Productions. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and it's January 13th, 2014, and you're listening to the AR Library call along with the EMS Q&A. So let's get on with our questions today. We seem to have a lot of them. Rick, one of the areas of my marriage that I have struggled with is being known to my spouse. I'm the hurt spouse, so I'm always one to push issues down and not talk to them. But it's not because I don't want to. It's because, seriously, I don't know how to be known to my husband. It sounds silly to even say that. I'm not sure if it's fear of being laughed at or fear that it will be held against me or what. Maybe fear of being hurt again. Any advice or resources on how to work on this? What does being known mean as far as you talk about? My resolution for 2014 is to be more and more known. Would you recommend a counselor to help me with this? Thank you for all you do. Part two, I forgot to include also that for my spouse and the AP, that was one area they were good at, being known to each other so that they could talk about anything. It hurts that I can't be like them for him and know that he wants me to. Well, first off, you can never have the same dynamic within an affair that you have within a marriage, so I wouldn't go saying it's apples and apples. Intimacy inside of marriage or outside of marriage is what we call others-validated intimacy. It's always validated. In other words, you can sit there and share your deepest, worst secret with somebody that you're not married to in an affair, and they will think that they can't believe how transparent you can be, how open, how vulnerable. They think you're absolutely incredible. However, once you're married, intimacy almost always create short-term instability, or at least two-thirds of the time. It's very difficult because your spouse typically doesn't validate you. They don't think it's wonderful anymore that you've got problems or that you struggle and that you're sharing with them. Instead, now they see it as a threat because they're married to you, and it ends up creating that instability. Excuse me a second. So much for coughing. I thought I'd muted that. Well, to edit that out. I apologize, guys. So it's much, to me, more difficult to learn to share feelings and struggles and fears within the marriage, and it's just part of growing up. I don't know how old you are, but I think you'll find it's something that couples who've been married 30-plus years or 20-plus years find much easier than couples who've only been married a few years. And it's accepting the fact that differences are okay and that we won't always be seen the same or even want the same things. It's just a matter of learning to be authentic with each other. I think counseling is one thing that might be very helpful. One of the things that can help is even reading books out loud to each other. One of the things I think has helped Stephanie and I has been reading as we travel in the car together, doing audiobooks, where we'll stop and we'll talk about things. You can find books on truthfulness and books on honesty. You can find information on just questions to ask each other about your past. You can find some of those even in magazines. Stephanie's always pulling out magazines of, you know, what was your favorite thing from 2014? She'll find the 20 questions you ought to ask each other for, you know, New Year's. Also seminars such as anything, maybe Intimate Life. I just went blank on the name. A Weekend to Remember. Those things will also help with intimacy, and I think doing courses like that are helpful. And finally, if you've done EMSO, even the aftercare program will work a lot on intimacy. And hopefully, if you do the Beyond EMS or the Married for Life, those courses are helpful. So just going through those things will be useful, but it's also a matter of doing those things with your mate. And it happens by being intentional. So plan something that allows the two of you to grow and to speak with each other. Even the truth in love from EMSO and EMSW is a great exercise that will help with intimacy as you go forward. That might be something else that you want to try. Okay, second question. Since I still do not feel that I have full disclosure from my spouse about his two emotional affairs, I am considering a polygraph to make sure he's not lying or has told me everything. Recent findings after a year have led me to believe that he's not telling all. His actions at confrontation a year ago do not match up with the answers that he recently gave me. From the answers he gave, I would even question that he had an emotional affair. Yet, his actions at confrontation were so guilty and the abuse was so bad when I continued asking questions about his affair that I feel there had to be more than he told me. His answers to my questions, done with the help of his mentor, were just enough for him to say, okay, I finally answered your questions, now let it go. They were general questions, not very specific, not giving the detail I needed. I know that you recommended polygraphs as one alternative when we attended the EMS weekend in November. Would you be able to give me some names of reputable polygraphs people that you trust that are in the Austin area? I have an appointment with you in February and hoping that my spouse attends with me and would like to set up an appointment with a polygraph company and get the polygraph done at that time as well. I don't know of any reputable companies where I live and would prefer that you trust one that you trust and deals with infidelity. Thanks. So primarily I use a gentleman here in Austin named Bruce Stevenson. And Bruce's telephone number here in Austin, I'm looking that up real quick, is, it's coming. Almost there. Don't want to give you too much break. Blank space here. Can't type anymore because I'm trying to talk at the same time. Almost there. There we go. So Bruce's telephone number is 512-497-0909. Now, interestingly enough, on a polygraph, you actually want long questions, broad questions, you don't want specific questions. If you ask specific questions on a polygraph, it makes it too easy because of the way someone looks at something to get a false read. Broad questions, have you shared everything? Are you trying to keep anything secret? Things in that manner actually help make sure that everything is out. But if you're trying to find a polygrapher in your area, you'd also want to look for one that is Department of Defense certified, a Department of Defense polygrapher. And you may be able to Google that and find some information in that area. It's a very specific protocol that I think is very helpful. And there can be other reasons. I just want to say that people may have trouble talking about what's happened because of their shame core. Sometimes people are so ashamed and so guilty, it's very difficult for them to continue talking about it because they flood emotionally. Also remember that the level of detail you want isn't to the point to where you can have comparisons. A lot of times there's curiosity as to positions or things that were said. I can tell you that won't be helpful in the long run, and it's irrelevant because what they were feeling at that moment is probably not what they're feeling now in the least and is not a good reflection of where they're currently at. So be careful about getting into comparison questions. You want to get as little information as possible to fully understand what happened. But you do want to know maybe why it happened, what made them vulnerable, what are vulnerabilities in the marriage. What you want to make sure you can do as you go forward, can you see how things can change, and can you find how to keep the marriage from being vulnerable in the future? I look forward to seeing you in February, and we'll at least talk about getting what you need so that you can feel safe enough for the marriage. Next question. See, actually, that's really not another question. Alcoholism in affairs. Last question. Hi, Rick. I'm struggling with my own recovery from my husband's alcoholism and multiple long-term affairs. Both were revealed to me unexpectedly. I have been able to process the alcoholism and did know on some level that I was unhappy with his drinking, but the affairs is another thing. He was a high-functioning alcoholic and traveled most weeks. There was so much hiding going on for so long, it's hard for me to process if what is now is different. He goes to AA meetings, attends EMS calls, is willing to go to counseling, etc. Because he hid so many of the things he did in the past, I'm noticing that he's lying. Yet, I also notice a lot of the same behaviors that he's always had. He would say he is so different and not drinking or womanizing anymore. I don't see him that differently. He was always a good provider and helpful with the kids. In going to Al-Anon, I'm really working on me and my codependency issues. I struggle with detaching, yet working at being vulnerable and trying to connect as we work the Married for Life course. Any feedback on how this process should look when alcoholism is involved? At EMS, you told me that I should be seeing rocket fuel from him when we left. I haven't seen it yet. Yet the more I learn about alcoholism, the more I realize that the rocket fuel may look like him just not drinking. 90% don't make it without relapsing for the first year. What should recovery be looking like for my type of situation? I'm not feeling called to get divorced, yet I'm feeling discouraged. So when you're dealing with two types of situations, such as alcoholism and infidelity, a lot of times the two are very tangled together. It's amazing how often infidelity, especially with alcoholics, is tied directly to the drinking, so that typically if they're not drinking, they're not acting out. The acting out has always been a piece of the drinking and part of their ritual and part of their routine. Don't know if that's the case in this situation. Right now, someone getting sober for the first time is absolutely huge, and I don't think that it's even possible to deal with the infidelity if you've still got the alcoholism in play. So his first order of business is going to be going to those AA meetings and beginning to learn how to be a different person. Trust me, what seems like maybe small changes to you will probably feel like absolutely radical shifts to him. He will have come, in his mind, a very long way from the ways he used to think and the things he used to do. Part of the reason it doesn't look so different to you is he was so successful at deceiving you, you have no idea what all he had been up to prior to all of this. So now that he's going to go, wow, I'm doing great, well, it may look like there's not much change because he was deceiving you into thinking he was already doing great. I'm encouraged just simply by the fact that he's feeling that there's a lot of change simply because I'm sure behavior is different. Now, there's also this ongoing piece of work for him is critical. I think if he's willing to do counseling, I would go to counseling. I think he is going to need for, you know, the rest of his life at one level to deal with his alcoholism. The more he gets involved in AA, the better. The more you get involved in Al-Anon and Codependence Anonymous, the better. Remember that you want to stay focused on your personal recovery as much as possible right now. And if he's not going to be in recovery, you'll find out soon enough if he begins to relapse. So learning how to detach, detachment to me is a little bit about indifference. Indifference isn't about, our detachment isn't about not caring. It's not freedom from desire, it's freedom of desire, where you don't have to respond. Detachment's like, I don't care whether, you know, I'm going to be happy whether it's short life, whether it's long life. I'm going to be okay whether it's wellness or sickness. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to prefer his drinking over his not. It's just saying I'm willing to accept life on life's terms however it comes, and it's letting go of those judgments and knowing that you need to maintain an attitude of compassion and loving kindness toward him if possible, and also taking care of yourself and staying in community and having others who love you and support you. Because as he goes to recovery, he won't be able to be everything probably that you need him to be, even though as he continues to heal and grow in program, he should be able to offer more to you. So I would just say, if you'll stay focused on yourself and continue your work and doing your own inventory, and you'll find that you're less discouraged. You know, there's two types of we talk a lot about post-traumatic stress disorder, but there's also a thing called post-traumatic growth. And one of the things I would hope that you're able to do as he's going through this and you're going through your own recovery is that you focus on the post-traumatic growth. How do you take the crisis that's come from this and begin to see life different and begin to grow? So don't lose the impetus here of your own journey as you move on. Last question. We are in week 6 of EMSO. Writing our letters to ourselves from our spouse. I had forgiven my husband a month ago for his affair and had felt more at peace and able to handle things since then. But now I'm stuck again. I'm having difficulty writing my letter as we've been living out an example from our lessons on heart versus anti-heart. Last week, my husband unfortunately did not act lovingly from the heart. In the best interest of our relationship, he also concealed it from me, knowing I'd be hurt if I found out, which I did, and it was something some people would consider small in the grand scheme, but something he knew I was opposed to, but he chose to do it and lied by omission. I've been emotionally flooding for the last 2 days. Do you have any suggestions? Thank you. Well, I find that in life, it would be nice if our path was straight, but oftentimes, as you'll learn in, I think it's week 10 on relapse prevention, that relapse and kind of falling back into things is a very natural piece or a normal piece of change that often it takes time to learn. What's important, what's not important. Hopefully, every time somebody makes a mistake, and this includes both of you, each of you will become more willing to do what it's going to take in the future to keep the relationship strong and healthy. I would just know that this is going to take time. and try to be patient. Remember I said the journey was going to be 18 to 24 months. To me, it's not. I understand people make mistakes. What's important to me isn't that as much as what's their heart. Are they grieved over what they've done? Do they feel bad? Or are they very defensive and blaming you? If they go back to blaming you and saying it's your fault, putting responsibility to your feet, at one level you've got somebody that whose heart's hard and they're not really taking personal responsibility. If, on the other hand, when they relapse, they do something hurtful, they go, that was really stupid, and they're grieved about that, then at least you know that emotionally they're still in a good place, even though it may not stop your emotional flooding. Maybe one thing you can do to help with the flooding is, again, try to just have not an excuse by any means, but ask God to give you compassion for your mate. Just be concerned about their heart, what would have caused that, and hopefully they'll be back in a different place. The other thing you can do is focus on the blessings you've got, focus on the improvements that have been made, and be aware that you've already learned how to do part of this journey. It's not that you have to start all over if there's a mistake. From this point, you can at least, I think, get back to where you had been by crying, grieving, accepting, and hopefully the two of you can move on together. Best of luck on week 6. I hope that your letters go well with each other and maybe your heart can be touched. And as he writes his letter, he can understand the pain that he caused by this choice he made. That's all of our questions for today. I hope everybody has a good week, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week. The healing.